Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
No fans, it's not Mr. CJ Sports, it's me, Mike. Once again, CJ is not in the studio and probably will not be from what I hear. So we are solo once again. I'll go over the stories of the day. It would be nice to have someone to bounce it off of, but I will give you my opinions at any rate. I have some good news. If you will, after the show, however abbreviated it may be, because we have no guest schedule, if you go over to the Hot Laps with Stats page, you will see that on Friday we have two guests. They both confirmed as of, well, one confirmed yesterday and one confirmed today. The first hour will be taken up by the Peterson family of Riverhead Raceway and points in between. Their home track, as mine, is Riverhead Raceway. And they have driven, the dad is the guiding force, and the team, the driving team is made up of his two sons, as those of you who are Riverhead regulars are aware, but for our national audience, it's the dad is the guiding force of the team, and the two sons are the drivers, respectively. And they've competed in late models, in legends, and in modifieds this year. They started in modifieds, I think, about a year or two ago. But this year, they're going with a modified also, in addition to the legend cars. They are past champions in whatever they've driven, and we'll get into that live on the show. They gave me some PR a little late for me to plug it into the show and the publicity, but we will go into that certainly live on the show. We will also give their, as we do everybody, try to, the crew members and the sponsors and everybody else. So it should be a very, very interesting show with two individuals, the Petersons and Sal Licardi Jr., who also comes from the racing family. His dad raced back in the day. I remember him. He might have, I'll find out from Sal, he might have also raced at Freeport back in the day, but I never went to Freeport. I always went to Islip and Riverhead with the two tracks that I was familiar with. But anyway, his dad raced a modified back at Islip that I'm aware of, and also I'm assuming Riverhead as well. And now Sal has picked up, walked away from it for a while. We'll talk about that and why he did that, his reasons for that. I don't know if there was anything medical with it, not for Junior, but I know when his dad passed away, Sal's dad, I don't know if that was initially when he walked away from the sport or when his dad got sick, et cetera. I don't know. We'll ask him about that. And we'll talk about both of these drivers' careers, actually three drivers, two Peterson sons, and then Sal Accardi Jr. also, all who have raced on Long Island and I believe off it. I know at least the Petersons did. They're New York State champions. That's the situation with that, but we'll have a good show on Friday night. As far as anything else, you can find me before we start. I'll say you can find me on my personal Facebook page, the 110 Nation pages, where I got the stories and posted them up, the Hot Laps with Stats pages, the website, and also my Twitter account, which is at Stats108. As I say, CJ's not in the studio. He just texts me like 5 minutes before saying that his work coverage didn't show up, and so he's got to be at the store in the front and not doing the show in the back in his office. We'll just go over the stories and take it from there and go from there and see what happens. Like I said, it's easier if I have someone to bounce the stories off of and more of a discussion situation, but so be it. We will go solo this evening. Let me just pull up my notes here, which I usually let CJ talk while I'm pulling it up. Unfortunately, I can't do that tonight, so bear with me. Let me just pull this up. Okay, a couple of things. Very interesting for you ARCA fans who might be in the middle of the country, in the Midwest, as well as the Northeast and the North, and the South as far as Florida and, you know, wherever you ARCA fans and drivers happen to come from. I know the ARCA drivers are from all over the country. Very interesting week coming up at Talladega. First of all, on that subject, I want to wish our colleague Chris Crichton well. He was scheduled, I believe he said today, he's still going to go to Talladega. He was scheduled to go, and he found out he had to make a pit stop first to get his appendix taken out. So, speedy recovery to him. Speedy in the sense of maybe 48 hours, because he'll, if all goes well, he will still be at Talladega this weekend. But there's going to be actually three races at Talladega this weekend. The Xfinity Series, the Cup Series, of course, and also the ARCA Series goes into Talladega this Friday night. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see the race because I will be on the air with my show, but I will get a replay of it or I will see what happens with the results afterwards, of course, and pick the brain of some people, I guess, to find out what goes on, Miss Lee among them. But very interesting weekend coming up, sort of a wild card of the NASCAR season whenever they're at Talladega. Interestingly enough, Matt Kenseth, as we mentioned last night, coming back, and I guess wisely he decided to come back after Talladega, and he will come back on May 12th, I believe it said, at Kansas. I believe it's May 12th, or roughly around there, the second week of May, I believe. And so that will be this will be an interesting weekend points wise. It could be a real wild card. I really don't know who I'm going to pick fantasy wise. As far as I made my ARCA picks based on guys that we've had on the show, guys and girls, but as far as the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series, it's a real wild card as to what's going to happen. Of course, being Talladega to begin with, that's the main reason you really can't pick, really can't go by past performance at a track like Talladega. Just by tradition or reputation, I think even, you know, Daytona and Talladega are both considered super speedways, but I think you can go a little bit more based on prior performance when you talk about Daytona as opposed to Talladega. Talladega is the real wild card. But anyway, I put a story up on the 110 page relating to about Leilani Munter, who has been on the show, the 110 Nation Sports Show, repeatedly. I want to say, I think she's been on three times since I've been co-hosting, which is exactly 3 years, but I know she's been on even prior to that. So out of our 7 years, maybe she's been on, I want to say, six or at least five. That would be my educated guess. I've only been involved. I was a listener to start with. And then those of you that are familiar with the story, I got invited on to the staff by Steve Billmeyer. And then when Steve asked me to step aside, or in my case, roll aside, because he was going to emphasize dirt track racing on his Thursday night show. And, of course, that's followed through now with Chris Crichton and Craig Moore. And, by the way, I will have their link to them for next week. They will not be having a show tomorrow night because Chris was going on vacation as it was, and then also having his medical issue with the appendix just added to his vacation, I'm sure. Happy vacation to him, but again, I wish him a speedy recovery. And, of course, more speedy than usual if he's going to be in Talladega this weekend. But in any case, that as a race, as a place, as a track, I lived in Alabama for a time, but never, actually 2 years, and never went to Talladega. Went past the track many times on the main highway going from Anniston, where my ex and I live, to the main city there, and past Birmingham. I don't know why that slipped my mind, but my ex always had to go medically into Birmingham, and so when we did that, of course, on the main highway, we always passed the Talladega racetrack during weekdays. I don't remember. I think a few times we passed it when not on a Saturday or a Sunday, but on a weekday where they might have been pulling into Talladega. But I know the tractor trailers and the haulers. But we never, I never got the opportunity to go to Talladega. And so, even though I lived in Alabama for 2 years, but in any case, it should be a rather interesting race. But as far as the ARCA series, I put up a story on the, 110 Nation pages this morning about Leilani Munter. So you can check that story out. That's the first item that I put on my list for this evening. Okay, as if Roger Goodell, as we go to a football story next, as if Roger Goodell doesn't have enough problems, the two cheerleaders, one from the Miami Dolphins, actually a former cheerleader, and a cheerleader from the Saints as well, at least two and probably more. It's probably more like a class action suit, but the article pinpointed to those two for whatever reason. Maybe they're head of the organization or what, I don't know. But the writer of the article, for whatever reason, and you can read it on the 110 page, chose to highlight those two women. And it turns out that they have some months ago initiated a lawsuit against the NFL for unsafe working conditions. Again, sort of what's going on around, basketball front offices with the Mavericks and just the latest, I don't want to say craze, but the latest problem that appears in sports outside of the lines appears to be sexual harassment issues. And this is just the latest example. And I don't want to
throw away. We're talking basketball.
There you go. Okay. You're back. Oh, you're here. Okay.
They can't hold me down, Mike. They can't hold me down.
Real quick, just let me go over what I did in your absence, if you want to comment. The two, actually, one article that I mentioned is coming up this weekend. And I put up a story on Leilani Munter, who's been on the show numerous times. I said maybe about, well, the three times, I know she's been on at least the three times I've co-hosted, but I kind of guessed out of the 7 years, maybe she's been on six times. I don't know if that's close, or I know she was probably on a couple of times.
Who's that?
Before, like, Leilani Munter.
Oh, okay.
The vegan driver.
The vegan driver.
Yes, vegan.
But Leilani Munter.
Right.
Gotcha.
I put an article up on her. That's why she was the first topic that
is she running. Is she running Talladega for Venturini Motorsports this year?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Matter of fact, both women that we've had on the show connected with Arthur, and three Venturini drivers. There's a third one that's a gentleman. I forget the third one, but of course, Natalie and Leilani are running together as well for Venturini.
Gotcha. Definitely excited about seeing her out on the track. It's to me, having Leilani on the track touches so many different avenues. You're talking about a woman driver. You're talking about a driver out there at her age, a driver that is very earth conscious with her decisions, with the electric and electric power cars and the solar power this and everything that she fights for, and to see her be able to have an athletic lifestyle and be able to maintain the vegan lifestyle. She touches so many different avenues, and it's really an inspiring story in every angle that you go when we talk about Leilani.
Right. And as I said, there are three. I noticed in the Fantasy League, and that's how I picked, you know, the guests we had, there's like three different drivers from Venturini, and I think that's the most they've had in one race at one time. I know Natalie this year running every race, but I think three so far is the most they've had in one four Venturini for one team at one time. The other story that I just brought and started to bring up before we came on, CJ, is another one of those crazy stories. And, you know, I don't want to trivialize this whole thing, but here again is another situation as if Roger Goodell doesn't have enough on his plate. The cheerleaders have filed a lawsuit sometime back, unsafe working conditions relating to sexual harassment, et cetera, the same off-the-field sports stories we've been covering for about the last 6 months. And the interesting thing there, though, CJ, is while I don't want to trivialize what they supposedly had happened to them, what doesn't look good in their defense or in their corner is the story brought out the fact that the writer chose to really spotlight two of the women. One of which was a former cheerleader for the Dolphins, and one was a former cheerleader for the Saints. And I guess they have a little bit of a union going on, even if it's unofficial. And these women have decided that they will settle. They sent a memo of some sort into the lawyer for the NFL saying they will settle their lawsuit for $1 if Roger Goodell just will agree to meet with them. Now, to me, CJ, I don't know how you feel, but if I had a serious issue like sexual harassment, I don't know how quick I would settle for $1 if I only got to meet with the commissioner of the NFL. I just don't know how, you know, I don't want to say how serious you take it, but if that's what it will take, is a face-to-face meeting with the Dell and you'll settle for $1, how serious could your case be?
Not only that, Mike, let's be honest. In a world that we live in today, where we have a women's league for pretty much every sport that we have a man's league for. We have women participating, and we're having co-sex sports such as NASCAR. Why do we have cheerleaders still? What is the point? Nobody goes to a game to watch cheerleaders. I'm not trying to excuse if there was sexual harassment or not, but we've heard the cheerleaders be in the news for not getting paid, not receiving the right amount of compensation or whatever it was. Now you're talking conditions and everything else. Why are we entertaining having this whole? When was the last time you went to a game, Mike, and paid attention or even watched the game on TV? And well, you know, they've not showed our daily dose of cheerleaders. So I don't get it.
No, and once again, the last group of cheerleaders that I know that did anything like make appearances or do outside events, I'm sure all of them do to a degree, but the group that really started the whole cheerleader thing back in the, I want to say the 60s and even the 70s, was the Cowboys. And they were the ones that did outside events and stuff. And you didn't even hear about, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you might have heard about the cheerleaders more often. But even now, if you watch a game on television, PJ, once in a while you may see them on the sidelines with their pom-poms.
Well, going to a commercial break.
Right, but they don't even emphasize that on TV as much anymore. So you're right in that regard. But I don't know. Like you say, I don't know if a sports fan goes there to specifically see, you know, a woman scantily clad with pom poms. You know,
I've been to probably five NFL games. And I never once even realized there were cheerleaders out there. And this is not to sugarcoat what the situation is. If these cheerleaders were indeed sexually harassed, then yes, you know, something needs to be done about it. And of course, now we got to question the severity or what really happened if you got cheerleaders going ahead and settling with next, you know, pennies on the dollar. You know, if this was a big deal, then I'm not understanding why, you know, the settlement for so easy. But over the last handful of years, the only time that cheerleaders have even been discussed or you know, this whole topic is talking about wages and talking about this. And I just, once upon a time, I understand that the sports world was a man's thing and there wasn't girls soccer, there wasn't a girls football league. There wasn't this, there wasn't that. But we have evolved in the 70, 100 years or whatever it is. And, you know, now women have, I'm not going to say the same equal rights because they're equal opportunities because there's no woman in the WNBA making $20 million a year. There's no woman baseball player making, you know, having contracts for $100, $200 million contracts. So we're still not in equality, but that you know, that's also got to, that's also based on marketing demand, all those other things. But we're past the days where we have to have something such as cheerleaders to give these females or women some kind of way to be part of the sport. Because now we, you know, there's ways to be a part of the sport. There's women drivers, there's women, you know, in every sport. So I just don't understand why this is even a position that is entertained by any sport, because nobody comes to watch it. And I mean, honestly, that's just kind of a waste in their payroll at this point.
Right. Well, I don't know. You know, it's you know, like you say, it's been de-emphasized. And even the And I know now, we'll get into this in a second because there's a couple of basketball stories, as you point out. But and there's also stories from this morning as well. But the interesting thing to me is, like, even basketball, I haven't been to a basketball game in a long time because last basketball game I was at live, I always watch Knicks games on cable. But the last basketball game I was at live was the Nets game, and when they played at the National Coliseum. So that was some time ago. But in any case, I'm beginning to think about the cheerleaders in basketball, too, where they come out on the floor basically during the break and cheer and then go to the sidelines. And there's really not a lot, that they seem to de-emphasize that even on telecast. So, and there are women like Charlie Spurs doing the games, commentating on these basketball games. And I'm sure she's not coming from the cheerleaders. I've seen her broadcast a few games, and she doesn't seem to comment on whether the cheerleaders are there or not. So it is an interesting thing, an interesting phenomenon, how long it's going to be a part of either football or basketball or whatever sport we're talking about.
Since I jumped in here a little bit late, was you able to thank our marketing partners and everything else, Mike?
I'll do that because I think I've heard you do it many times, but I don't have it memorized in my head. So
gotcha.
Go ahead and do that.
Well, I would take an opportunity because we got to make sure we thank these guys. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com. On the right-hand side, click the pretty little banner, find a location near you, 24/7, 365, get your gym on, clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want that is Fit for Life. I also got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our show. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure I thank each and every last one of them. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation and give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. You can also check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation.
Okay. Now back to football with the draft coming up. And this is, again, CJ, you wonder about some of these athletes, okay? Here's an athlete, a wide receiver for the Florida Gators, the University of Florida. He was eligible for the draft. I believe his name is Callaway. I put the story up on the 110 page. He was a wide receiver at Florida Gators, and his draft stock all of a sudden, CJ, a week, 2 weeks from, a week, I think it's this week, the draft, the 26th, this weekend, right?
Tomorrow night,
whatever.
The draft.
Tomorrow night.
whatever.
And the story, that makes it all the more bizarre. The story comes out this morning that the wide receiver, tested positive for marijuana at the combine. Now, I have a question for any college or whoever released this information. Why are you releasing this information a day before when the combine was, months ago? I just, talk about somebody's draft stock plummeting. That's the last thing you want to come out, as you're racing your position in the draft and where you're going to be drafted. That would be like, that to me is like plummeting from whatever round you were going to be picked in, even if it wasn't the first round, you just plummeted from maybe a second round pick to maybe a sixth round pick.
Now, did he voluntarily release that information, or did someone else release that information?
That's what I'm asking. I'm like saying, who released it a day before the draft, which is just very, very bizarre. Because the story came out this morning, I think. You know, I put it on the page.
Well, it depends on how they do their testing, and if they did couple hundred participants at the combine, it might have taken a while for the test to be done and the results to come back. I don't know if it was him or somebody out of his camp. The only thing I can think of is a sign of integrity. He might have already known, it might already be out there, but it had been released to everybody. And it might be his way to get ahead of it. And, I want to admit to what I did in hopes that, somebody look at it as, it's somebody that is at least going to be open and honest with the situation. I don't know. Or it could be somebody that got a hold of that information and decided that they were going to help their stock agent stock in the draft. And, depending on where, he was rated in the wide receiver category versus, maybe someone's client, they might have used that information to help rise their, their client could have been number two, number three, who knows, in the wide receiver position. The receiver out of Florida could have been the number one, prospect in the wide receiver position. Now you just took him out of the equation. Now your stock rise for those looking for wide receivers. That's the only things I can think of.
Right. That's a possibility. And, it wasn't clear who released the information. But I say the story's up on the 110 page, so the fans can check that out after the show if they haven't already. Another draft story as we get and stay close to it tomorrow, the first three six choices in the draft, there's a guesstimate of what will happen. And it's going to be very interesting in terms of what quarterback, not who is chosen, but what quarterback is chosen by whom. The Browns obviously have up to six choices because they're saying that six quarterback could go in the first round. And the last time that happened was the early 90s, like 91, 92, I remember hearing on the radio. I was listening to my app on my phone this morning while I was posting the stories, and I believe the commentator on the radio said it was like 91 or 92, the last one, six quarterbacks could have gone in the first round. And more and more, Donald seems to be dropping out of that situation. Now they're talking about Josh Rosen, a kid out of Wyoming that really only the draft picks know about. I mean, he's supposed to be a very, very good quarterback. But again, we're talking college and we're talking Wyoming, who very rarely plays on TV. So you probably, if you saw him at all, you might have seen him for one game, if that. I know I read all about him. He was all over SI, but I never saw the kid play. Donald, on the other hand, if you stayed up late and watched USC games, you saw a couple of his games on the East Coast. Knowing my Jets, quite frankly, I have this crazy feeling that they are either going to pick Baker Mayfield or and have a problem with attitude, or pick the kid nobody, you know, on the East Coast heard of, because the Jets are famous for doing that as well. So it's going to be interesting to see between the two teams, respective teams, which quarterback each one picks, assuming they pick a quarterback, because it looks more and more like everything I heard out of New York, CJ, that the Giants will go for Saquon Barkley, unless something drastic happens, like he's picked number one by the Browns.
Yeah, the whole Josh Rosen thing, I think the biggest thing that concerns everybody is the fact that who does Wyoming really play? I mean, what competition has Josh Rosen really played to really give the scouts, the head coaches, general managers, and owners, giving them an opportunity to really evaluate how good Josh Rosen is going to be? And, you know, it kind of sucks for Rosen, because, you know, it's not necessarily his fault that he had to play at Wyoming. And, you know, for all we know, Rosen could be one of, if not the best quarterback to come out of this class. And who knows, could be one of the best quarterbacks ever go down in history. But because of lack of competition out of that conference, you don't know. And I know there's been a lot of talk of Baker kid, and you know they talk about he's probably one of the best quarterbacks when it comes to accuracy and arm, but what's hurting his stock, and that's why a lot of people don't think that the Browns are going to take him number one, is the fact that he's 6'1", and the measurements that most teams go by, there's only been a couple that have broke the mold. Russell Wilson, which did fall to the third round because of his height. Drew Brees probably would have been a number one quarterback, first draft pick, if he would have been taller. Is the fact that Baker Mayfield is sitting at 6'1", and that's going to hurt his draft stock because of his measurements.
Yep, and certainly, and I firmly believe this again. And you know, you could be an idiot, and you know, anywhere, as he proved it out at Oklahoma when he, or Kansas when he pulled that stunt. But I really don't see him as a fit. Maybe on the football team, yes, but even that with the Jets, who is he going to throw the ball to? Jets like dismantled themselves within the last 2 years, and I really don't know. You know, I don't think he would be a good fit even if they had two good wide receivers, because, like I say, it's an attitude problem with him, and unless he, you know, unless he really grows up, and that's going to follow him, I'm afraid, especially since it happened when he was a senior. I know you and I were both a little surprised that it didn't affect him as much as it did in the Heisman Trophy voting. I know around that time you said he probably did himself in, and obviously nobody paid attention. I won't say nobody, but enough of the voters didn't pay attention to that to make it be detrimental to him in any way, because he still won the Heisman. But I don't see him. I'm not even disparaging him as a player right now in terms of his height or his arm speed or that I know nothing about. I'm not a scout, but I do know that I've lived in New York for the majority of my life, minus, what, 3, 4, 5 years now. Three in Georgia, in Alabama, and so with that in mind, I would have to say, for a number of reasons, mainly the fierceness of the New York media spotlight, and the fact that he has not shown maturity accident, I think he would be falling into a trap in the New York media. I really don't think he would be a good fit.
How things get shaken up, and here we are less than 24 hours away from the beginning of the NFL draft, and the uncertainties and the questions that surround the draft. I tell you what, of course, there's no show tomorrow night for Race Chat Live, as Chris Yellow Caution Flag Creighton is going to be at Talladega this weekend. They're going to do a rebroadcast. So that gives Mike and myself an opportunity to sit down and watch the draft. From what I understand, it's on Fox, but I'm also understanding that's on the NFL Network, which I'm hoping that's the case, because Sling TV has 6,000 versions of Fox, but the regular Fox is not one of them, which is kind of disappointing, because every year I'm able to catch it, and this year, unless they do broadcast it on NFL Live or the NFL Network, I'm not going to be able to catch it. But, of course, Mike and myself, we're going to be working hard tomorrow night on communicating back and forth. And, of course, I'll be doing a lot of posts on Facebook tomorrow as the draft goes on, as I do every year with the draft. But definitely looking forward to seeing how and who the Browns draft and do. And kind of curious to see what your Jets do, Mike.
As far as the first round, neither of us will have to wait too long. You obviously pick at 1 and 4, and the Jets pick at 3. So, and the Giants pick at 2. So I'll basically know who will be in New York in, as far as the first round by the third pick. So we'll see what happens. Should be interesting, to say the least.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns mix it up and it doesn't end up being a first and fourth pick. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being first and maybe a second or third pick, or they turn maybe the fourth pick into a couple picks. So that will be very interesting to see what and how the Browns handle having the first and fourth pick.
Yep, that could be an 11th hour move, of course, and who knows. I guess we'll know by when does it start tomorrow, 7 or 8 o'clock?
Yeah, something like, I think pre-coverage starts at 7. I think the actual draft starts at 8. It seems like that's what it starts most years. I would have to I'd have to pull it up or look at the schedule tomorrow.
They have a pre-draft show usually now, too. That's the whole production and everything else. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting in any case to see who goes where. And where the name players go, because if the Browns don't take a name guy, it'll be interesting to see where all the name guys that everybody knows the names of, where they go. And I think I still think, based on what I heard today, and again, like you say, it could change. I think the Giants will take Barkley. If they don't, it will be a surprise. I think if they the only reason I could see them picking quarterback is to have Eli Manning mentor somebody, because I don't think even what went on last year was not Eli's lack of performance. It was more or less the coach, and that was borne out by the whole team not playing well, the defense and the offense. So I can see Eli still being around with the new coach in place. And from Minnesota, surely. And maybe if the Giants do pick a quarterback and don't pick Barkley, or if for some reason, like you say, people move around and Barkley's not available, then I see them picking a quarterback, because I don't think the guy they have there now, Davis, is just a mop-up guy from what I've seen last year. So, and I saw him very little, as everybody did. because all he did was carry a clipboard and maybe get into, I think, one game as, you know, Geno Smith's backup for one half or one player, two players. So, I just don't know. Right now, the way it pans out, everything I heard is that they're going to go for Barkley, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, Mike, oh, Mike. While we're about the halfway mark, I want to go ahead and make sure to thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. Also, go to our site, www.110nationsports.com. The right-hand side, click the pretty little banner. Find a location near you, 24/7, 365. Get your gym on. Clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want. That is Fit for Life. I also want to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our show. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow, so I want to make sure that I thank them. What we got next on our trip around the sports world, Mike?
Okay, we got two other sports before we get to talking about basketball in the main, because that's a lot of stories going down and around playoff basketball and around the teams that are even out of the playoffs. In baseball, and I don't follow the Braves at all. I mean, I'm looking and I get some of the news based upon the fact that I'm in Georgia, but they are about to promote, and I think tonight they are promoting. His first team is tonight. A young man who is supposedly not just number one on their board, CJ, but number one, but the number one, I think that the publication that they always talk about in the minor leagues is Baseball America, and he is like the number one prospect out of 100 prospects. The Braves have him in their organization, and they promoted him. He's a outfielder, and his name is Acura. I think Rafael Acura, and he is not an outfielder, as I said, and he is playing his first game in the majors tonight against, as you know, it's CJ, another one of those Ohio teams, the Cincinnati Reds. He was called up for the big club today, tonight in Cincinnati. So keep an eye on him because he was already written up. And basically, he was written up today because they knew they were going to call him up. The Braves announced it. And the reason he was written about, so even in one article, was because he is number one out of 100. That's the standard list, the top 100 minor league players, and he's ranked number one. So we'll see what happens with him. I don't know if all I know is the Braves were a much better team when they were, you know, killing my Mets for years in the early 90s, the Bobby Cox years. When they were perennially, I think, for like 8 to 10 years in a row, they won the National League East Division. And the Mets, at the time, were perennially number two, or they were either number two right behind them, and that was the nature of the heartbreak those years for like 8 years running, or They were terrible. There was no in between with the Mets in those years. And again, we're not talking about 86 now, which was the last. They also played the Yankees in 2000, I believe, with Piazza. But as far as the 90s era, the 80s, 90s, the Mets, of course, were world champions in 86. And then the early 90s through the early 2000s, except I think it was 2000. I know 2001, was the World Series was the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. So when I talked about 2001, it must have been 2000, I believe, that the Mets played the Yankees in the World Series with Piazza and Matt Crew. The Braves were either finishing right ahead of the Mets, which was the reason for our heartbreak in the early 90s, or the Mets were sort of born out of it anyway. But the Braves have had a down era right now, but apparently they're building their team back up. Not that I watched them tremendously. Sometimes they're the only team on. If there's not a national game on, they'll flip the Braves on once in a while, but I can't say that I follow them as closely, obviously, as I do the Mets. But in any case, they called up their number one prospect, and basically the number one prospect in baseball. So he must be a really good player to be obviously ranked number one out of 100. So we'll definitely see what happens with him. The other basketball story. Get my notes here. Izzo. He will be due to the TV NBC or 10 tonight because the Bruins play the Maple Leafs, as we mentioned last night. That is the last first round series that needs to be decided. So whatever happens at the end of tonight with the Bruins and the Maple Leaf game, then everything's cleared, and then for round two we can start looking into round two. And Joe, of course, will be back next week talking about that, I'm sure. But those are the last two hockey stories, or non-basketball stories. Now I have two stories before we get into the playoffs, please, CJ, about teams not out of the playoffs at the present time and what they're going to do. They're already talking about the two main non-playoff teams, or they actually four, because they made the second round, but already they're talking about one was knocked out, one was still in the playoffs. The one that we speculated on for so long, CJ, the first branch, it appears, is ready to have a system after they got knocked out of the playoffs. I guess last night they lost their last game with Kawhi Leonard. So we finally might be getting a process on what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard, but virtually everybody in the organization, from the GM to Popovich to anybody in the front office, is looking to sit down with Kawhi Leonard and ask him point blank, what are you going to do next year? What do we have to do if we want to keep you? And we don't even know what that is, you know, in terms of whether they want to keep him at this point or not, or what they have to do. If he's unhappy, they really need to find out what the situation with him is so they can move on if need be. But supposedly we should be cleared up by early summertime because they want to make, I guess, a move if they have to by, I guess it's July 1st, whatever the date is. They want to know what's going to happen before that July 1st date. The other basketball story that has nothing to do with the playoffs other than his team being in the playoffs, there's already talk about whether, with Anthony Davis playing so well, and I have this feeling about this. I've always said, CJ, that you need at least two guys, and you can't rely on just one if they're not a superstar like LeBron James. LeBron James obviously has held the Cavaliers on his shoulders a tremendous amount of time due to Kevin Love's injury and Isaiah Thomas's injuries at the time and whoever else. And LeBron always seems to come to the fore. But is there any talk about whether the Pelicans will keep DeMarcus Cousins next year? And I think they need at least two guys to shoulder the scoring. DJ, I wouldn't. Anthony was hurt, you know, this season, but I wouldn't give up so easily on DeMarcus Cousins, and I would at least try and keep him around as a helper to Anthony Davis, unless they make a major trade and get somebody else of equal talent. I don't think just because he got injured this year, you can give up so quick on DeMarcus Cousins.
Update on the Cavaliers game real quick. Cleveland is up by 12 points, 2.5 left in the third. LeBron already with 30 points. Cleveland trying to take a 3-2 lead in this series before heading back to Indiana for Game 6.
Yeah.
And Toronto was up 79-78 going into the fourth. Once that score comes across the screen again, I will give you guys an update on that. And, of course, Houston and Minnesota will be playing later on tonight. I did pull up my FanDuel account. I am participating in today's NBA games and my FanDuel picks. I also did one for a Major League Baseball lineup, which I'm actually 5th out of 100 on Major League Baseball. So I'm doing pretty good there. And I did one for this weekend for Talladega. My five-man roster, I forget how much money I was allowed to spend. I had $1,000 left. What was my total on there? I don't know. I think it was like $50,000. I went ahead and took Alex Bowman. I took Bubba Wallace, Ricky Stenhouse, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano are the five drivers that I took to make sure that I did not go over my salary for this weekend's race at Talladega.
Very interesting.
Trying to win some money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was good. I mentioned while you were before you came on the show that it's interesting. I still say this: all the tracks on the NASCAR circuit, Talladega is the one, and I know they get paired with Daytona because they're both super speedways. But even Daytona, to a degree, I think you can go by a little bit by past facilities. Talladega is such a wild card. You can't really go, and I've said this in the 2 years now that I'm co-hosting with you. You really can't go by past performance because somebody could come out of nowhere, basically, that hasn't won in years and win Talladega just on attrition. Just the fact that maybe one or two cars left running out of 40, you know. It's just so much of a wild card. You really can't go on basic leads. You just have to basically toss a coin when it comes to Talladega.
It's a crapshoot. You never know. As part of the reason why I went ahead, and the other reason I did the FanDuel today was because I was like, you know what, I think I have still money left on my account. And the update on it, Washington is up 87-82 with looks like eight and a half minutes left in the fourth. But LeBron has 35 points, and they're just in the third still. I was sitting there thinking to myself, I think I have some money left on my account, and my other phone didn't have enough space to have the app on my phone. So I was sitting there thinking today, you know, I had to pull up the app and, or put the app on this phone and see how much money I do have on my account. And I had $12 left, so that was the main reason I went ahead and partaked in some activities today. I think it's something that I'm going to get back into a regular basis. I enjoy me some fantasy sports.
There you go. Did you pick your ARCA picks, by the way?
No, I have not yet.
Okay. But anyway, that thing with Leonard, you mentioned, yes, last night on another sport, Julio Jones, your best guess is, yeah, he's out of there, and I agree with you on that. What's your educated guess on Leonard? Do you think he'll be back?
No. I think his days in San Antonio, unless all of a sudden someone like a LeBron James decides to come and talks to him, I think it would have to be another powerhouse name. Unless that happens, which I don't see happening, I think the days of LeBron, or I'm sorry, Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio are done.
Right. I don't see, with so much acrimony that went on there from like mid-season on, as soon as he sat out the entire rest of the season, I didn't see him coming back either. So we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll both be surprised. But I think both of those individuals last night with Julio Jones and Leonard are both gone from their respective organizations. Right, as far as the let me see my notes here. I had it in order. The Sixers were the surprise of the night last night. DJ. Finally, they saw some benefits from the, like I said, for years and years, all we heard about the Sixers is they're young, they'll mature, they're young. Well, last night was the beginning of what they hope in Philadelphia will be a long history of making the playoffs now. Obviously with Cleveland, and you still got to prove it to me. And I've said this for years now, even when you were waffling on whether the Cavaliers would, you know, you had your period on this show where I had to throw you off the cliff or whatever, off the ledge. And you kept talking about the Cavaliers, at some point in a morbid thing, and I said no. They've still got to prove it to me that they're worse off. The same way as the Sixers. Fine, they made it into the next round, but I don't see them getting past Cleveland. And if they do, it's going to be a really big upset to me if they get past Cleveland this year. I think you have to say baby steps to get there, even in the case of Las Vegas. That's what was surprising about with Vegas and hockey. They keep doing it. And hopefully, like Izzo said, he'd like to see Vegas play the Penguins in the final, just because of the matchup between the goaltenders in his case, even though there are, like you pointed out, Vegas players that also played in, Pittsburgh, aside from the goalies. But I know Izzo being goalie himself, I think he's more fixated on those two guys, to see them match up. But I just don't see the Sixers getting past in basketball and getting past Cleveland this year.
The Sixer team's a very interesting team to me. A lot of things have gone their way. They were talking about this morning that usually a young team gets aggravated with fouls because they don't tend to have the respect from the league or the respect from the refs to get the calls. And so far this year in the playoffs, the 76ers have been to the foul line more than any other team. So that is something that they have not had to overcome to this point, and they're playing basketball. I think they have the right amount of young players sprinkled with just the right amount of veterancy that you got the veteran leadership like a J.J. Redick out there, but you also have young, fresh legs and a deep, long future with players such as Embiid and Simmons. So, but they, you know, like they were talking about this morning, though, if Philadelphia would have been in the West, would they be a top? Would they even be in the top six or top eight? Or are you talking about a team that is not, you know, even potentially in the playoffs? So, and would they even have a shot to be in the finals if? You know, if they would have to go through Golden State or Houston versus just having to go against a Boston team that's missing their two best players, a Cleveland team that has been rebuilt like three times this year, a Milwaukee team that is kind of in the same boat as Philadelphia. It's working through their process, a Miami Heat team that, you know, their best player is probably seen his last day as an NBA player. So there's a lot of things that you know, kind of make you wonder, would this be the same thing if they were out in the West? I'll tell you what, to update on my FanDuel thing, I only have four players on my 9-man roster in my Major League Baseball game today that has actually scored. And yet, out of being only got four players that have actually scored, I am sitting first place with only 39 innings left because of Betts of Boston, who has hit two home runs with three RBIs, and Richards of Miami has eight strikeouts, four innings pitched. He's got a shutout game going, and two other guys have scored quite a few points. But I just find it interesting that only four players on my entire 9-man roster have scored anything, and yet I am sitting on top and look like I might flip $2 and make $25 tonight on that game. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed that my roster keeps doing what they're doing, because most everybody else either has about the same amount of innings left or have less innings. So I'm definitely going to be constantly updating my phone the rest of the night to see if my roster manages to keep me on top of the Major League Baseball fantasy fan duel that I got going on today. But, the 76ers, To me, the 76ers are a lot about when we talk about the Los Angeles Rams this year. A team that is good, a team that got good quicker than expected, but a team that has enough young, a bunch of young players that have no experience, no playoff experience, which is going to cause them, when it's all said and done, to fall short, because they have that lack of experience.
I believe the word you were looking for was unproven. But, they always say that, especially when you make the playoffs for the first time in a while, you need to lose before you need to win. So, before you can win, you need to lose one series before you can move on. And so that appears to be the case. And even if they get to the next round and end up ultimately playing Cleveland, like I said, I don't see them moving past Cleveland right now. And really, anybody in the East.
No. I think the only issue Philadelphia may have, and the only bump in the road Philadelphia may have on their way to the NBA Finals is hold on a second.
So, what are we trading up? Yeah. So, are we trading up, or so what's he want? So, just give it to him and just write it down, and I'll pay for it later.
All right. We have Domino's doing a trade-off with us. Sorry, but we got dinner just showed up. They traded us off some food for some energy drinks. So I just make sure we got everything squared away. I lost my train of thought. What was we talking about? I'm sorry.
The Sixers.
I was trying to remember what point I was getting to. I think the only bump in the road, there we go. The only bump in the road we have is probably the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it, really, that all depends on if LeBron James and the Cavaliers can get everybody in sync and get it all together by the time they play Philadelphia. The Cleveland Cavaliers have had Indiana's number, so I think the only bump in the road Cleveland had, they've already had it. I would be surprised. If they manage to lose this game, then they've been staying up pretty much double digits, right around 10 points all night long. I would be surprised if they go into Indiana to lose. Next round, you're going to play either Washington or Toronto. Cleveland has had both of those numbers for the last 3 or 4 years. I don't think, and with that, I think every game, Cleveland starts to figure out a little bit more and more. So it, as much as, especially as a Cavalier fan, you want to see Cleveland get the series over quick as possible, the same time, I kind of like the fact that we didn't do 4 games and done with Indiana, that we're going to be playing 6 games. So that's 6 games that this unit plays together and gets a little bit more chance to have that court time to get the unity, to get thing everybody on the same page. As much as I would love to see the Cavaliers sweep either Washington or Toronto, I kind of hope it goes 5 or 6 games. That way that's 5 or 6 games more that the Cleveland Cavaliers have and are able to use to get ready to play Philadelphia. Because I honestly believe, and that's what I picked to going into the Eastern Conference in my basketball pool, was the Cavaliers and Philadelphia, and I have on the other side I had OKC, which it doesn't look like OKC is going to make it out of that first round. I think there's a good chance that OKC is going to fall to Utah.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, as a fan, I want to see 4 games and be done. I think it's better for Cleveland if these series are going 5 or 6 games. That gives the Cavaliers just another extra game or two to not only an extra game or two to get in sync and get things worked out, but also overcome the adversity and find out what you have when the road gets tough and everything else. You don't learn a lot when you're beating up on the teams and you're it's a cakewalk. Golden State didn't learn much about what their rotation is like against San Antonio, because 4 of the 5 games they walked through those games and there was really no serious competition. I think it's best for Cleveland that this series and potentially the next series play out a little bit longer and have a little bit more adversity than what it has been in the past. The prior two or three years when you had Kyrie Irving and everything else, it wasn't such a big deal because you knew what you had, and you had 3 superstars on your team with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and even if LeBron was having a bad night, or LeBron, needed a rest or whatever, you had Kyrie to come on on the court. Well, you don't have that this year. And so this gives this team an opportunity. Golly, this thing keeps jumping around. Gives the Cavaliers an opportunity to kind of learn what you have, who's going to be able to pick up the slack, who needs to be handling LeBron and everything else when LeBron is not on the court. So definitely a very useful and, to me, an important extra game or two that the Cavaliers are going to experience this round and even potentially next round. To get ready for the finals against Philadelphia, that I feel that they're going to need, because Philadelphia right now is clicking on all cylinders. It's not too much that they're missing other than the experience.
Right. I know one thing I wanted to ask you as a Cleveland fan again. You watch the games game in and game out. Everything I read on, you know, media seems to say that LeBron is getting no help because Kevin Love is injured and different people aren't contributing. How much, I mean, there has to be, maybe not all five in the starting five are on every night, but there has to be somebody else contributing other than LeBron night in and night out, no? Because it seems like the national media are picking on the Cavaliers, like somebody's got to help LeBron or they're going to get knocked out. And the next thing you know, Cleveland keeps on going. So I think I don't really know how much of it from the national media is objective, because I personally don't see it. And, you know, you keep saying that Cleveland, you know, keeps advancing. And like I said, you know, somebody's going to have to prove it to me that they're as good as Cleveland right now by knocking them off, because I don't see it as far as the East. Maybe they run into a problem with whoever, you know, representing the West, but I don't see anyone having a problem, you know, getting out of the East.
I don't know. Cleveland's got a road in front of them. LeBron is not getting much help. A lot of these games in the playoffs, LeBron is about the only person in double-figure scoring. You have a lot of players that are scoring 6 points, 8 points, 9 points. You'll get a player or two that might have 12 or 16. There, you know, few falling in between in these five games. But even like tonight, LeBron's got 40 of the 80 points. He's got half the team score. He's not getting a lot of help. There's not a lot of players in double figures. There's many contributors. There's a good 8 to 9 players that have points, and that's, you know, anywhere from 6 to 9 points. But there's only maybe one other player, sometimes two, that actually crack double figures. And you're not talking 20-point double figures. You're talking, okay, they scored 12 points or they scored 16 points. And that's the extent of what LeBron is getting help with right now. Somebody is going to have to step up. There's going to have to be a point where not just a game, but a series, and especially the finals and Eastern Conference Championship, that a player or two is going to have to step up throughout the whole series. Not, you know, okay, great game three, Hood had a great game, or great game four, Clarkson had a great game. No, it's going to have to be the entire Eastern Conference Championship. Clarkson's going to have a great series and be in double, and when I say double figures, more of like 20-plus points. Or Kevin Love, I mean, that's been a big piece right there that has not showed up much at all in these playoffs. And there's been games that he's not reached double figure, and games that he has hardly scored any. As a matter of fact, it might have been a game that he didn't score anything. LeBron is not getting much help. And, you know, there's reports, I forget what I was watching, but LeBron doesn't want to leave. He does not want to stay with the current team. And so there's a good possibility we're going to see another overload this offseason. If we start seeing an overload this offseason, that's because Dan Gilbert's gotten the word from LeBron that, no, I'm not going anywhere. but changes have to be made. But LeBron is not going to stay in Cleveland to play with the Cavaliers as is. There's going to have to be major changes in order for LeBron to be on that roster come next year.
Okay. No, so then what you're saying, and that's only because I've heard it constantly, I was wondering if there was some legitimacy to what the national media was saying. And apparently from what you say, there is, in terms of his health on the floor. Okay. As we look at other series, CJ, another interesting series to me, again, because I follow the Knicks in the East more than I have in the West, and, just as a fan, is the Milwaukee-Boston series. You figure they're both struggling, but who's struggling worse? Who's going to get out of that series? It was tied
3-2. Every home team has won to this point. Boston's up 3-2. Every team has won on their home court. If the path travels the same way, that means that Boston is essentially going to be your winner. There's a couple things about this that can be said about this. One, it makes you rethink how good Milwaukee actually is. If Milwaukee is unable to beat a Boston team without Hayward and without Kyrie Irving. And then it also says something about Boston. If you're able to beat a team that was 6th, 7th best in the Eastern Conference without your top two guys. So I think Boston will come out of the series. That's who I end up picking to win this series, and I think that's essentially who's going to come out of the series and win. But it has been the home team that has won every single time, which, that leads us.
Whoops, where'd you go? CJ? CJ. Says it dropped. Okay, CJ dropped out of the studio for some reason. CJ, if you can hear me, you're out of the studio. Disconnected. Hold on, fan. Let me see if I can get him. Hold on, fan. I'm trying to get CJ. He's out of the studio. The call dropped. Let me check. Keep checking. Oh, fuck. CJ, you there? No. CJ, I don't know why we lost CJ, but he should try to get back in the studio. He's trying, I don't know. Okay, I really don't know what happened to him. Okay, as far as talking basketball, until he gets back, if he gets back, I don't know if he's aware that he's out of the studio. Let me just see what goes on here. We're basically through with the stories other than talking basketball and Talladega. We haven't, I don't know if you wanted to do Talladega picks. There he's back. Okay. Hold on, let me get him. CJ, you there? CJ? CJ, you're in the studio. Go ahead. Unmute yourself or do something. You dropped again. I put you in, CJ. What happened? CJ's trying to get back in, obviously. Sorry about this. Live radio, gang. What happened? Okay, gang, live radio. I don't know what happened to CJ. He tried to get in twice and the call dropped on his phone. I don't know what happened on his end. All I know is when he came into the studio, I plugged him in. Here he is again. Let's see what happens.
Can you hear me this time?
Yeah, I hear you. What happened? You there?
Somehow I got disconnected, and when I recalled back in, my headset wasn't connected all the way. I didn't know that until just now. So.
Okay. It helps be connected, yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you're back. We were talking basketball. Basically, the Boston-Milwaukee series.
I have Milwaukee, or I'm sorry, I have Boston going to the next round.
Yep. Who's left? Well, obviously, Oklahoma City and Utah, which you already
said. I picked OKC, but at this point, I would be shocked if OKC makes it into the next round.
Right. And Utah is playing exceedingly well.
Yes, they are.
And you know, they were also fighting, but of the two teams, they were, you know, appeared to be playing better than OKC, which is a surprise given the three players they have. But again, I think it shows, as you pointed out last night, what a disruptive. You know, everybody likes about Westbrook and his triple doubles and how positive he is for OKC, but I think this series has shown how destructive he can be as well.
Update on the Cleveland game. 2 minutes left. Cleveland is up by only 2 points.
Not to worry, CJ. I still don't think they're going to end up losing the series.
This game should not be this close at this point.
Probably not. Probably not. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know.
The Toronto Washington series is an interesting series to me.
Right. Toronto has that. You know, it's funny. I really don't know who's on their roster other than the one guy they keep learning about, which is DeRozan. And he's the guy that basically kills and whips whenever they play him, too. So he is. DeRozan is the LeBron James, not in any way, shape, or form like LeBron in terms of championship, playoff appearances, or whatever. On the team, he is like, there's the most highlighted guy. for Toronto. He's generally the guy that comes to the first, to the fourth, and, to the forefront when the team handles another team well. So, other than that, I don't really know who's on Toronto's roster. It's an interesting team because in the last two or three seasons, they made their first run to the playoffs, and then they made baby steps to get, past certain rounds. But they're dangerous. Again, as long as Cleveland is in the shape that they're in, even with LeBron, I don't see anybody getting past Cleveland, really.
It's a tie ball game, 33.6 seconds left.
What's that, the Cleveland game?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. A game that I've watched Cleveland be up almost double figures almost the whole time is now finding themselves tied with a minute and or with 33.6 seconds left.
Interesting. I guess that means somebody's going to have to hit a three.
Well, I've watched Cleveland trip after trip give up their double-digit lead by shooting three-pointers, and it's not really been falling for anybody, so either all of a sudden somebody's got to get hot or they got to do something other than shooting this three.
Yep. Well, they got to get a layup somehow.
Yeah. Well, they're in a timeout. Cleveland has the ball. So, how about we do this? We've hit all the topics. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Mike, why don't you go ahead and let them know what you got going on Friday, because you know what I'm about to do here for the next 33.6 seconds anyway. There's no sense of it being a one-way conversation.
Right, exactly. Well, we're going to have an interesting program Friday night because we got my two guests targeted, and I put up the laps with Steph's publicity already. We got the Peterson family, who is going to campaign a modified and a living at Riverhead Raceway this year. They're going with both divisions. They started with the modified last year on what I would say would be a part-time basis. And this year they're going all year with the modified and also a legend car. So they'll be running two divisions. And also Sarah Carney Jr., who is from a racing family, goes back. I remember his dad racing the modified in ISIP back in the day. And Sal stepped away from the sport, I think, when his dad, if memory serves me correctly, it was when his dad got ill, and then his dad passed away, and then last year he stepped back into the car on a part-time basis. And this year he's going to be running a modified full-time at Riverhead Raceway. So we'll talk to both Sal Carty Jr. and the Petersons, who run Checker Racing, and so we will talk to both of those individuals on Friday. Two first-time guests. I know both of them really well. CJ from Riverhead, but we haven't had them on the show. So for the benefit of my fans and the fans, we will be introducing two new guests on Friday night. Also, you can find me on my personal Facebook page, the Lone Tan Nation pages, the Hot Laps with Stats pages, the website, and my Twitter account, which is at
StatsMonitor. Not to cut you off, but a bad call by the fans. or a bad call by the refs. The ball actually went out of bounds off Thaddeus Young. They did not call, they called it out on LeBron James. Indiana brought the ball down, tried to take the last shot. LeBron blocked the Indiana Pacers. Cleveland has the ball with 3 seconds left, still tied 95-95. Yeah, 3 seconds. Here we go, commercial time. And so that means I got to get everything wrapped up real fast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I got to make sure I thank Fit for Life, the I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio. Without these great marketing partners and our networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. I want to make sure that I thank Mike and Izzo for hanging out with me this week and help make all this possible. Of course, Miss Lee and everything she does behind the scenes. Make sure you guys give us a follow on Twitter at 110 Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Friday night, 8 o'clock, Hot Last with Stats. Make sure you guys check that out. Mike, myself, will be back. 3 seconds, he shoots, it's up. Oh, he nailed it! He nailed it! Ha-ha! Woo! That's it, Cleveland won. Monday night, 8 o'clock, right here at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Ah, Lord have mercy. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Ford. You are a part of the 110 Nation. So be sure to visit the 110nation.com for the latest on the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation.